Warriors
to conquer.
What? We'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
On the right wing, in and out dribble between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very not.
And the Saint, Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Wednesday to you here on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Danna, Gary St. Jean rocking with you for Warriors Roundtable for the next hour. Reminding you that the Warriors 2024-25 season is presented by Kaiser Permanente. And as always, later on in the show, we'll be giving you a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Warriors game when we'll take the seventh caller at 415-523-4652 later on in the show. Of course, if you just want to talk dubs, the sanely one of myself, that number is 888-957-9570. Well, Saint, another game, another W last night. Don't really want to spend too much time on that game against the Charlotte Hornets. They were essentially playing the Greensboro Swarm last night, 128-92. That's Charlotte's G League team. They didn't have LaMelo Ball. They didn't have Brandon Miller. They didn't even have their rookie Tijon Salon, who's kind of had his struggles this year. NBA app alum Tijon Salon. We broadcast some of his games with Chalet last year. But they're 6-1 in their last seven since Jimmy Butler entered the lineup, and there's a lot of good things that we have seen recently from Golden State.
Kev, this kind of feels like the old days. Let's go all the way back to 22, and whether it was on the TV or radio, we were singing the praise of the Warriors individually and as a team and a coaching staff. And I just like the direction this team is headed. And boy, it's exciting. I mean, I'm the grocery guy. So if I go to Trader Joe's or I go to Lunardi's or I go to Safeway, I got people wanting to chat Warriors. They're fired up. And it's great to see. I'm really happy for everybody. And, you know, Kev, when you were a young guy, your mom gave you something to keep you quiet for a while. She gave you a puzzle.
Okay.
And she said, okay, put this thing together and let's see how it fits. Well, when you add Jimmy Butler in a puzzle, boy, it's a beautiful looking thing. And I just can't give the guy enough praise. He's not forcing his way in there. He's making great basketball decisions on both ends of the floor. He's making his teammates better. And that's what one of your top three guys on your roster should do. So keep it up.
Yeah, and so one of the kind of ancillary effects of Jimmy Butler it being such a positive force for this team is that the Warriors have finally found a starting lineup. Yes. They've used 33 different starting lineups. Only Philadelphia has had all sorts of injury troubles, and they're staring 20-38 in the face right now. Doesn't look like they're going to beat the Knicks tonight. They're down 6 with 10 minutes to go in the fourth, but I still would bet on the Knicks. Not that I bet on basketball, to be clear. But look, they've used the same starting five the last three games. It's Stephen Curry, it's Jimmy Butler, it's Draymond Green, it's Moses Moody, and Brandon Pajemski, and they have been very, very good.
Kev, you know, a coaching staff sits in the head coach's office, and it may be an off day, you're not game planning for a certain team, you're looking at your own team, and you look up at the board. And like you said, you've had all these starting lineups, and you're saying, okay, we've made this trade. What could really work here? And they've come together, and I love the fact that two young guys are really being productive. Moody's as productive as he's ever been with the Warriors. He's doing a heck of a job. You and I have been singing his praise for, I don't know, 6 months to a year. And, you know, chance meets opportunity. Coach Daryl Royal, Texas. And that's what the players do. And he's doing a terrific job. And then Podzimski, I felt in the beginning of the year he was trying to do too much. And now he's letting the game come to him. And I just think he loves playing with our man and Butler. And indicative of a timeout that Butler drove to the paint, kicked it to him in the right corner. He made a three. And then going back to the huddle, Podzimski jumped on his back. You know, it just guys having fun, playing the right way. And, you know, Draymond's Draymond, and Steph's got a load off of him. I really think that. His minutes are, what's the right words? They're more efficient because he's not having to do as much, and there's, you know, Butler's free throws are giving him some rest, and he can play some point forward. And then when he goes out of the game, when Steph goes out, you're not feeling like the dam's going to break. You know, you're doing okay because you got Butler in there running the show. So, you know, the center position, it with Draymond playing there, we've gone away from somebody like Davis. But look at a guy like Post getting an opportunity coming off the bench. It's because the coaching staff loves the pick and pop action because they've got a guy like Butler and they've got a guy like Green that can put it on the floor when there's space in the lane. And, oh, by the way, Kuminga's coming back on the road trip. So, you know, you just feel good about everything that's going on with the Warriors. And, Kev, we're going to talk about this. Boy, I think they can really have a heck of a run on this road trip. There's a lot of things that can fall into place. And watch out, you teams up above. The Warriors are on their way.
They really are. And you mentioned Kuminga, so I want to follow up with you. Jonathan Kuminga has been officially ruled out of tomorrow's game, but he is getting very close. Anthony Slater saying in a recent post on X that just kind of awaiting the green light from Celebrini, right? But when he comes back, I kind of think you have to bring him off the bench. Like, as long as this starting five is winning, I don't think you mess with that. What would you do, Saint?
Well, again, this is all about relationships. This is about communication. And, you know, the coaches will sit down with him, especially Steve. And they've probably been doing it now as Butler's been here and saying, hey, this could be a play where you really have a great look on this action, or we think we can use you in this way, and you can get out in transition and really get the ball and playing downhill like he does. That would really help our team. And he's a young guy, and he's thinking about free agency and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I think Butler will be a very solid voice for him, a veteran voice that can say to him, hey, just be yourself. Don't try to be something you're not. Stay within your game, and you're going to have a heck of a last 20, 25 games here. You're going to give this team a big shot in the arm. And trust ownership and trust management that these guys, if you play really well, you're gonna be rewarded.
Yeah, and so with this starting lineup, and look, I think eventually Kuminga will be back in the starting lineup. If he was playing the way that he played before he got injured, eventually, whether it's next year or later this season, he's going to be back in the starting lineup at some point. But the roles right now are defined. And you know who's going to be out there to start every quarter. We've talked about the starting lineup. And then the second and fourth quarter starting units have been great. You put Quinn Post in there for Stephen Curry, and you roll him out there with Pods, with Jimmy, with Draymond, and Moody. And they're extending leads. And in a couple of recent games, they're extending leads by a lot.
Well, you know this, Kevin. It is a contrast in style. When Peyton comes in, look at the game he had the other night. I mean, he's got a nose for the ball and a terrific competitor, defender, energizer. And then when I look at Buddy Hield, like Puzynski and Moody, the game's now easier for him. He doesn't have to create as much for himself. The spacing is really good, and he's the beneficiary of open shots or guys running at him and using an escape dribble and getting another open shot. So I just think it's a lot better for him. You mentioned Post, and now Kuminga comes back, so don't forget Kevon Looney. So you're very solid. You're going to go 10 deep, and you're going to feel really good about your second group coming in there.
Yeah, I think Gui Santos has certainly done more than enough to stay in the rotation. His minutes probably go down a little bit, but I mean, just the energy he has brought, the offensive rebounds, the deflections on defense, just being in the right spot, being able to move well without the ball, all those little things that Steve Kerr likes to see, he has done. You discussed Moses Moody in that starting lineup a little bit earlier, Saint, and the Warriors are now 10-0 when Moses starts. His stats as a starter, 13 points, 3.2 rebounds, 1.7 assists on 56% shooting, 52% three-point shooting, 78% free throwing. This is what Moses had to say after the game last night against Charlotte, if this is the best stretch of basketball he has ever played.
Yeah, I think it's been a process. My NBA journey, just like anybody's, just like any journey, has been a process. Over the years, the different reasons that I've gone out the rotation, whatever it is, and instead of like putting my head down and bat it, I've tried to figure out what that is and see what I can do. So I think right now it's kind of just a compilation of all of the things that I've been working on. Not to say that I'm trying to go over the top, but part of that learning process was realizing, like, slowing down and doing a little bit less sometimes and fitting in with the situation. So, yeah, I think I've been playing some of the best basketball that I've played.
You know, Kev, there's an old saying with coaches, young players play fast. And they finally learn how to slow down and let the game come to them, read the game. And he's doing that. And, you know, you and I have just sang his praise on and off the court. You know, he's so mature. And it reminds me a little bit of when Harrison Barnes was here.
Okay, I can see that.
I kidded with people that Harrison, if he wanted to, when he got done, could run for Congress or the Senate. Very bright, articulate, sharp guy. And I just think things are just going to keep going up for Moody. I just feel good when I watch him play. And it just fits. This lineup is really working well together.
And the other young guy in this starting lineup, Brandon Pajemski, he's really taken off. He has crept above 10 points per game for the season. He also leads the team in plus-minus at +186 overall this year. And I was listening to the broadcast last night. I was at Chase, and I had the headphones on. Shout out Mike Baird for hooking it up so I can listen to Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the air. And Tom said last night, something to the extent of, it feels like Pods was trying to play the way others expected him to play at the beginning of the season instead of just playing his game. Then after the injury, coming back from injury, he kind of went back to being Pods.
Well, my man Tommy's right on, and you know, I think I'm just saying in a different way that you got to let the game come to you, and then don't play 2,000 miles an hour. You know, we know he competes. We know he's tough. We know he can draw charges. We know he rebounds. It's on the offensive end. Don't force the action. You know, I told you about my old assistant coach with the Kings, Pete Carril, coach at Princeton, and in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He used to tell guys, and he looked like Columbo. He'd have a cigar in his mouth, and he'd be about 5'4". He'd look up at these big guys, and he'd say, "Fellas, read the man in front of you. He'll tell you what to do. If he plays off you, shoot the ball. If he crowds you, drive the ball." And that's how simple it is. And if Brandon sticks with that, great things are going to happen for him.
The WNBA is coming to Chase Center in May. The Valkyries inaugural season presented by Kaiser Permanente kicks off May 16th. Learn more at Valkyries.com. That's under 3 months from now. We're going to take a break. When we come back, talk about some more benefits of Jimmy Butler being inserted to the lineup and how well the Warriors have played. We'll give away those tickets. We'll talk about the wins over Dallas and Sacramento and much more on the other side of this timeout right here on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors Community Foundation auction presented by Cache Creek Casino Resort is now open to celebrate the Warriors retiring number 9. This auction period includes an Andre Iguodala signed jersey and much more. Go to warriors.com/auction to place your bid. And folks, it is time to give away those tickets to an upcoming Warriors game. So call the contest line. The number is 415-523-4652. Again, that number, 415-523-4652. And if you are caller number 7, you will get a pair of tickets. We'll announce the winner later on. We will be doing this all year long for our Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway. So we've talked about the starting lineup, how the rotations have been solidified, Saint. Here's one stat that I have really liked from the Warriors, and I know I'm not the first person to point this out, but points off turnovers in their last seven games, all with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, they've had at least 23 points off turnovers in every game, 30.3 per game, at least 30 in each of the last three, and in that seven-game stretch, they lead the NBA in points off turnovers, and they're also third in opponents' points off turnovers. So this POT, it's looking pretty good.
Well, again, it reminds me of 22 a little bit. You don't have great shot blocking, but what you do is have high IQ players on the defensive end who follow the scouting report presented by the coaches, and there's defensive principles. How are you going to play the pick and roll? If a guy dribbles baseline, what are you going to do if you're weak side low? If your man weak side low rotates across to go to shot block, what do you do if you're up top on that weak side elbow? And there's concepts that are solid all year long, and you execute these because you're holding on to the rope. You believe in each other. If I go, I know you're going to cover for me, and conversely the other way around. And it's really evident. Now, active hands, deflections, steals, defensive rebounds. We've said this for a long, long time. Reward yourself. Get these turnovers and get out in the open floor, because you do have people that can make good decisions on the break and finish. And they're doing that. It's a great reward when you're playing like that, that really good things can happen for you. And Jimmy Butler's a great example of it.
Yeah, by the way, I mentioned the 30.3 points off turnovers per game over the last seven, number one in the NBA. Number two is like at 23 or something like that. So it's a huge gap that they have right now. They've had, in the previous 11 games, they had just 20 points off turnovers in one of those previous 11. They've won the points off turnover battle in every game of the Jimmy Butler era. So I've loved looking at that stat. The other thing is that recently games have been getting done early. We talk about all the clutch games they've been involved in this year. Well, that has not been a thing since the All-Star break. I mean, it's allowed starters to get rest, others to get playing time. I mean, Steph not playing in the last two fourth quarters. You talked about reminiscent of the old days. Nothing's more reminiscent of the old days than Steph scoring like 32 points in the first three quarters and not touching the floor in the fourth.
Well, no better example than he gave the Night Night song signal to Dallas. And he's been playing terrific. I just see the smile on his face. But there's a guy that I have the privilege of doing Warriors Roundtable with, and he knows all these guys down in the G League. And last week or the week before, he said, you know, Kevin Knox is going to get a chance, and you better be ready because he's going to do his job. And boy, am I happy for that guy.
Man, me
you know,
too.
We watched him. We did the games on TV in the summer, and you loved him. I loved him. And you never know. Maybe for the future it's not with the Warriors, but trust me, every team in the league is watching what's going on. And if this guy stays up with the big team for the rest of the year, and they keep blowing guys out, and he gets a chance to play, you just hope good things happen for him.
Kevin Knox, 12 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, an alley-oop finish that was on SportsCenter's top 10, a top 5 play at the 3 p.m. SportsCenter today in 15 minutes last night, or maybe it was the morning SportsCenter. I can't remember which one, but it was one of the SportsCenters I was watching today. Hey, Kevin Knox, I mean, Tim Roy said it on the air last night, depending on if he signs another 10-day contract, they sign him for the rest of the season, if he is going to be on the roster for the next 6 weeks leading into the playoffs, there is going to be a game or two where he is going to be in the rotation, at the very least. I mean, he has been an NBA rotation before, a rotation player before. He was a rookie of the month. He was NBA all-rookie. He averaged almost 13 points per game his first year with the New York Knicks. This was a top 10 pick we're talking about. And that talent hasn't gone anywhere. He's only gotten better. And he has not played his last meaningful NBA minutes.
Well, kudos to him for still believing in himself and going out there and chasing the opportunity. A lot of guys can put their head down and say, geez, I'm never going to get a chance. Well, and I also give credit to Mike Dunleavy and his staff and the guys down there with the G League team putting your work in and all that. And they have a great relationship, and they're communicating all the time. And, you know, they'll maybe call Mike or one of his assistants and say, geez, you know, Knox has had a great week, not just in the games, just his practices and his what he's doing in individual skills and all that kind of thing. And that has a factor in bringing a guy up. And now he gets this opportunity. And as you said, he was a heralded young guy coming out. He's still young. And you never know. I don't want to see any injuries happen. But, you know, it's kind of the way it is in the NBA. And if there is an injury or two, he may get a significant opportunity.
Yeah, and I want to give one other, talk about end-of-bench guys. I want to give a shout-out to Yuri Collins, two-year Santa Cruz Warrior, getting his first NBA time, his first NBA points in the win over Dallas. Had three assists last night, had a really nice drop-off pass inside to Quinn Post, and extended Garbaggio time against the Hornets last night. But as a coach, Saint, what was it like for you? I mean, was that something you were cognizant of? If the game's a blowout, you got someone you just signed to a 10-day who's never played in the NBA before, like, oh, let me give this guy a chance. Let this guy say, hey, I've played in an NBA regular season game.
Oh, I got to tell you, you know, as an assistant, you know, I love talking to Nelly and saying, hey, Nell, we're up 25 here. Do we want to give so-and-so a chance? And then as a head coach, you know what's going on with your roster, and your assistants say to you, hey, we're in good shape. You want to give this guy a look. And then there's energy. You know, even the players on the bench, when they see a guy like getting his first chance, they're fired up. They're happy. They want to see the guy have success. They look at the guy's eyes and see how excited he is. And then the guy goes out there, and he's productive, and you know, players in the locker room, they're tight, and they're happy for the guy. And so that's a great story.
Shout out to Daniel in South San Francisco. He is our tickets winner. Again, we'll be doing the Warriors Roundtable ticket giveaway every week here on Warriors Roundtable. So shout out to Daniel. And again, if you want to hit us up, if you just want to talk Warriors Shooty Hoop, it's 888-957-9570. So nice win over Charlotte. The Warriors did what they needed to do against a severely undermanned Charlotte team that has won 14 games all season. But what was more impressive, and I know the Dallas Mavericks were missing every big man known to mankind, but they came out of the gates absolutely needing to win two games against teams directly above them in the standings. And not only did they beat the Mavericks, not only did they beat the Kings, they pasted those teams, Gary.
Well, you jump on them early and make them believe they don't have much of a chance. And as you said, Dallas is, they got three big guys out. I mean, that's unheard of. And, but I will give them credit. You know, I'm a big Jay Kidd guy. He grew up in Oakland, and I remember watching him play at St. Joe's in Alameda when I was here in 89. And that game, the Warriors put it to him pretty good, got ahead by quite a bit. But, you know, last night they got a great effort out of their team, and they gave the Lakers all they wanted. And I'm watching to see who gets healthy and where they're going to be in this race. It's going to be very, very interesting. But give credit to the Warriors. They just jumped on them right away. And the Kings game, I really like the Kings roster. I'm not seeing the defense that you want to see to be a good playoff team. They've got five guys that can really go on offense. But they've got to get some stops. The only guy that I see with that kind of a mindset is Ellis coming off the bench. So the Kings, to me, I've kind of reevaluated things in my mind. I think the Kings and the Suns will be battling for the 10 spot. And then there's like five teams that are going to be like, 5-9. It's going to be a fantastic race.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what the Mavericks could be able to do, but I think that's a team definitely the Warriors can pass up. The T-Wolves had an amazing win the other night, being down 20-something points, coming back to beat OKC. The Clippers were in a tight game tonight on the road. I'm not sure how they're doing right now, but they're going to play the Lakers later this week in two games. That's big, because those are the teams that the Warriors are chasing. The Rockets, you know, if Van Exum's not out there, they don't have a quarterback, and they're young, and they kind of run around a little bit. So they're going to be interesting to watch. This is going to be a great 6 weeks.
It really is. Giving the listeners an update, the Clippers are losing midway through the third quarter to the Chicago Bulls tonight, 79-78. It's a one-point game. Zach Collins is turning the clock back in this one. 16 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists for the Bulls.
Wow.
But, I mean, look, if the Clippers lose tonight, both the Warriors and the Clippers are 31-27. And, of course, the Clippers have the tiebreaker because they've won the head-to-head. But, I mean, they're right there. I mean, when Steph Curry and Steve Kerr would say the sixth seed is the goal a couple weeks ago, and yeah, they were down 3.5 games, there are so many teams above them. I mean, they've made this ground up, and we'll get into this a little bit more later, but they made this ground up very quickly.
Kev, you know, just a couple of games lost, team losing, and then you turn around and get wins, you can jump 3-4 spots. And, you know, you touched it on in the beginning. They can have a heck of a road trip. So they go in front of the Mavs. I don't know what the heck. The T-Wolves are going to play the Lakers tomorrow. Obviously, I'm pulling for the Lakers. And we talked about the Clippers. Listen, we talked about six. I think they can get above there. I think they can get up in the five area. If they have a heck of a road trip, boy, oh boy, they're gonna be flying home, and they won't even need a plane.
that's well said, Slade. Let's go back to that Dallas game, though, because, I mean, A, it was Andre Iguodala jersey retirement day.
Yeah.
They did a great ceremony post-game. And it really felt like, with Andre being back, it felt like Roracle at times. I mean, the impromptu Warriors chants, it was loud as hell in that building. It feels like this fan base senses that something special could be brewing here.
I think you're spot on. And I'm with you. That Andre ceremony was terrific. And you say, well, how the heck are you retiring a guy's number? He only averaged 11 points. And I kind of compare him to Butler. Very, very high IQ. Terrific athletic body. Big heart. Winner. And he comes from Denver after being drafted by my pal Billy King in Philly, playing with Allen Iverson, and he's getting a lot of criticism because he's not scoring much. He goes to Denver, and then give credit to, again, Bob Myers and Joe Lacob. You know, he wanted to come here because he could see this team, because the Warriors had played them in the playoffs. He could see the potential of this team. And I read a great story how he said to Steve, he said, gosh darn it, he said, Curry and Thompson are crazy. They're just launching them from 28 feet. And he looked at him, he said, that's why we brought you here, to get stability here, to keep things in order. And then he goes on to win 4 championships and MVP. In the playoffs, and I love the speeches that Steve and that Bob made, and how could you say it better than Steph? I mean, that was a lot of love between Iguodala and Steph. That was really, really special. I loved it because they kept it kind of short. I loved how many players came back, how Clay stuck around for the ceremony. I thought that was fantastic. So there's a lot of things to like about it. And how about his ending, where he said, hey, this is the beginning, Steph. There's going to be a lot of tributes and adulations, and it starts with you. And, boy, it just felt great.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully many years down the road, hopefully there's still quite a few more good years of Steph Curry, but that Steph retirement jersey, I don't think we're jumping the gun by saying that Stephen Curry is going to have that number 30 retired in a Golden State uniform.
Hey, that's going to be like when they didn't have a game. Boston Garden, they sold it out when Larry Bird retired.
Yeah, you could probably do the same at Chase Center.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, they could sell Chase Center out for just a jersey retirement ceremony for Steph Curry, no doubt. Speaking of Steph, it was a vintage Steph performance. I mean, he scores 30 points, doesn't play the fourth quarter, and you mentioned the night-night he gave P.J. Washington. P.J. had done the night-night celebration against the Mavericks for the Mavericks when they had beaten the Warriors earlier this season. But, you know, when Steph is talking to opponents like he did with P.J., you know he's feeling it.
You know, there are some guys that are kind of bodacious, kind of like our man Draymond. I mean, you know he's talking it up, right? Yeah. Then there's these other guys who are very subtle, and you don't see them, you know, moving their head or anything, but they're talking a lot. Kind of like, hey, if you don't get somebody good on me pretty quick, I might go for 40 on you guys tonight.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of guy Steph is. You know, he just smiles at you, but then all of a sudden he's telling you, we're going to nail you guys.
Yeah, and the thing about that night-night, he gave it to him in the third quarter. Like that's how good Steph was feeling. And there have been previous games, I mean, you could still even just look within the Jimmy Butler era where they nearly gave up a 24-point lead, I think it was, to the Houston Rockets right before the All-Star break. They've certainly let teams back in, but they're, you know, it might have felt premature in other games, but it did not feel premature against Dallas. And a big reason why they won that game outside of Steph is the great job they did defensively on Kyrie. If you remember before the All-Star break, Kyrie, again, Dallas did not have their bigs. Yeah. Kyrie went for 42, and they won by four. He goes for 17 in this game on 7 of 18, so he scores 25 fewer points, and they lose by 24. So basically, if you're going to do transitive property math, which is not always a great exercise, but if you were to do that here, you could just say, well, Kyrie didn't score in this game, and that's why Golden State won.
And boy, I got to tip my hat to that guy. He had 35 last night against the Lakers, and he was just out of sight.
Yeah.
He's the guy now with Draymond gone, and he's accepted it wholeheartedly. You know, no better example than when he took the charge against Jimmy Butler late game. And,
yes.
You know, I got to tip my hat to him. He's been tremendous. He's taken the leadership role. He's the main guy there. He's keeping the ship afloat with these big guys out. And, you know, he's going to be in a contract year, and I think he's going to be well rewarded.
I mean, Dallas has to reward him, right?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Nico Harrison said, the future, we feel like we have a bright future, the future being 3 to 4 years, because who knows, something to the extent of who knows if we're going to be around beyond 3 to 4 years. Like,
exactly.
They narrowed the title window by making that trade for Anthony Davis, and they basically have to pay Kyrie Irving now.
Yeah, there's no debate there, and you know, they just got to hope and pray that Davis is going to be okay. You just don't know with those adductors, you know. Those are tough, tough injuries, and they're tough to rehab. And I just hope he gets to play. They gave him a beautiful tribute last night down there at the Laker game.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very big reason why they hung banner number 17, or if you ask Bill Simmons, banner number 12, because the Minneapolis Lakers won a few of those titles. But
George Mikan.
Oh yeah, the Mike and Drill layups.
There you go.
They were a force back in Minnesota back in the day, and Anthony Davis was a big part of that bubble championship in 2020. Obviously, had the game winning three against Denver. I believe it was Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals or Game 3, somewhere around there. And hopefully he's healthy. If he is healthy, yes. That was a questionable trade to give up Luka Doncic, to say the very least. But they, on paper, for the next 3 to 4 years, assuming health, and I know Kyrie Irving has had a lot of back issues, like if those two are healthy, you'd stack them up really with anyone.
Kev, you know, that's a good point you're making, and it's something that the Warriors have developed now. You got to be good defensively.
Have to.
To go deep in the playoffs. And that's what Dallas is hanging their hat on, that they will be terrific defensively. But I'm looking at the Warriors, and I just think they can do a heck of a job on that end of the floor.
We got a couple more minutes before we're going to a break, and I did want to spend a little bit of this time talking about a new addition to Golden State. The Warriors have signed Taron Armstrong to a two-way contract. Now, this is a guy who is playing in the Australian NBL with the Adelaide 36ers. He averaged just around 17 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, just under that in the NBL. And for those who don't know, the NBL is a very good league. I was counting through the entire league roster, there's probably about, it's under 200 guys, and 21 of them have played in an NBA regular season game by my count. Few other high-level G League alums. It's a really good league, and it's a 40-minute league. So he's doing 17-5-5, just under that, in games that are 40 minutes long, not 48 minutes long. And look, I've seen some highlights. He plays with some pizzazz, some panache. I obviously haven't seen him play in a full game, but I mean, you tell me those numbers in that league, that's a profile for a guy who could be pretty productive in America.
Well, that's a great get. You know, that's communicating with the agent. That's having somebody get a beautiful assignment to go to Australia to evaluate players and coming back with glowing remarks about this guy. And as you said, those are really good numbers. And that league is right up there with the best leagues in Europe. They've done a terrific job with that league. So let's see what happens. That's a great get.
Yeah, I mean, look, they have the NBL Rising Stars program. That's where LaMelo Ball came from, most notably. I mean, in recent years, Ryan Rupera. They got a guy, Kareem Lopez, who I think is 2026 draft class, who's supposed might be the best Mexican-born player ever, they're saying. I mean, obviously, it's a long way to go for that guy's career. But that is a very good league, as you mentioned. And at the very least, Golden State gets to look at him on the cheap. And it could be a very big talent upgrade for the Santa Cruz Warriors since he's going to be on that two-way contract. I'm not sure what the plan is, whether they're going to play him in Santa Cruz at all. I'd imagine he'd at least get his feet wet in the G League before they play him up top, but we shall see. Well, folks, speaking of the Santa Cruz Warriors, they take on the Mexico City Capitanes at Chase Center on March 9th. The first 10,000 fans get a Stephen Curry Sandcastle bobblehead presented by Adobe. Get your tickets now at ChaseCenter.com. We're going to take a quick break. Come on back and break down this upcoming five-game East Coast road trip and a look at the standings right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Chicken, what are you going to do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on Warriors Roundtable, Kevin Dan and Gary St. Jean with you. If you want to hit us up, you got another 12 minutes or so to do so. So hit us up, 888-957-9570. Mark Grandy working the phone lines for us, doing a great job as always. So let's take a look at the Western Conference standings before we discuss the upcoming road trip. Right now, the Warriors are 31-27, a half game above Dallas for eighth, a half game behind the Clippers and Timberwolves for sixth and seventh. And right now, the Clippers have a 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter against the Chicago Bulls, 98-93. Harden has 23 in that game. I mean, I'm looking at this, and you mentioned it, Saint. I think fifth is pretty doable. I do think like the Lakers are probably going to break away, and they could potentially get the 2 seed. But the Rockets, they've had a little trouble as of late. Now they're playing a San Antonio Spurs team tonight that really is probably going to be struggling down the stretch with Victor Wembanyama out for the year. Of course, we don't know about the future of Greg Popovich. But, man, I mean, they can avoid the play-in. I feel pretty confident, actually, that the Warriors will get into the top six.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you're going to think about playing a couple of teams in that bracket, I'd be thinking about the Rockets, the lack of playoff experience, youth. You know, how good are they going to be in the playoffs? The other one that I'm uncertain about is the Grizzlies.
Yes.
They had a great win against Phoenix the other night. Ja Morant looked like his old days. I just think the Thunder and the Nuggets are up there to stay. And, you know, we'll see what happens. The Lakers and Clippers are really wild cards. You know, Gobert's out, so that's a factor for the T-Wolves, and they don't have, who is it, the power forward they got from the
Julius
Knicks.
Julius Randle.
Yeah, he's out, and I think DiVincenzo's coming back. So, you know, it's like you said, it's going to be really interesting. I think the Kings and the Suns are going to stay down there. I can't see them moving up very much here. So this is going to be terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think, I kind of hesitate to say this. Just, I mean, the Suns have been the all bad body language team in the Western Conference. I kind of think they're cooked at 27-31. I'm not sure.
I agree with you. It's just not there. One thing that's making me smile, they're playing Bol Bol.
Yeah, he had 23 last night.
I loved his dad, and you know, he had, 18 or 23 the other night.
Yeah.
He's doing a heck of a job. But it just, you know, you look at things on paper and you say, that team can really play. It's just not happening. And I don't think they're going to snap their fingers and turn this thing around. And plus, I think that the quality of their schedule, they've got a lot of hard games.
Yeah. They have a lot of hard games. And the Warriors do not. And
right.
Speaking
they
of which,
got a good schedule.
Yeah, let's take a look at the upcoming broadcast presented by Ticketmaster. This 5-game East Coast road swing starts in Orlando tomorrow against the 29-31 Magic. 3:30 on the air, 4 p.m. tip time. Tim Roy on the call. Then it continues in Philadelphia. That now 20-38 Sixers hosting the Warriors Saturday, March 1st. 5 p.m. airtime, 5:30 tip time. Then Monday in Charlotte, March 3rd, 3:30 airtime, 4 p.m. tip time on 95.7. Then it concludes in New York. First Tuesday, March 4th, back in of a back-to-back against the Knicks, 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip time. And then the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday, March 6th, 4 p.m. airtime, 4:30 tip time. You can listen to all those games right here on 95.7, the game. And I just look at that. Orlando, Philly, Charlotte, Brooklyn, Knicks. The Warriors should be looking at this and thinking 4-1 is the baseline goal. Because I know Orlando's been struggling. They do have Banchero and Franz Wagner back. They were both out for extended periods of time. You look at Orlando and New York and say, all right, let's split those two games. And Philly, Charlotte, and Brooklyn, the way they've been playing should be pretty comfortable wins.
4-1, you and I are 100% in agreement. You know, I love what Orlando's done, and it's too bad. Suggs has been out for, I don't know, a month,
yeah,
6 weeks.
That has not helped.
He is, you know, that guy was a quarterback in high school, and he is tough. You know, when you look at a guy, can he shoot? Yeah, he doesn't make many shots. But you talk about setting the tone, pressuring the ball, rebounding, running the break well. He's a big factor in their early season success. You mentioned the two other young guys who I love, bookends. And, you know, Wendell Carter's been in and out. And, you know, they've got Pope down there, a winner. You know, if they can get Suggs back, you know, they're probably down in the seventh position in the East. They maybe could move up again. You know, the Pistons are above them, the Bucks. But the future's really bright there, but it's not going to be bright for them tomorrow. I think the Warriors are going to get them. And, you know, you mentioned these other teams on the trip. You know, there's not many that are really fighting for something. You know, the Knicks really are. Now, they're struggling defensively. So that game might be 145-140 or something wild. So this trip, get excited. They're early afternoon games. I've already told my grandson, William, when I pick him up from school tomorrow, I said, William, we got a treat. Game starts at 4 o'clock. Why's that, Papa? And I'm trying to explain the time zones to him. And so I think that's going to be a heck of a nice win.
Yeah, and we'll see. Of course, on paper is one thing. Got to go out there and do it. But
yep,
Magic are coming off a 40-point loss at home to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah. It's been tough.
Home.
I mean, Yeah, at home. Jamal Mosley has done a great job. He's turned that thing around, like you mentioned. Future's bright. Jalen Suggs is a freaking winner. We saw it at Gonzaga. You mentioned his high school quarterback days, but he will not be on the floor tomorrow. At Philadelphia on Saturday, I mean, the Sixers, them and the Suns have to take the cake for most disappointing seasons this year. I mean, they signed Paul George, and there's talk of Philadelphia. All right, maybe they're not the Celtics, but this felt like an Eastern Conference Finals or bust kind of season for Philadelphia, and they're not going to make the play-in. They're 20-38 now.
Kev, the guy that I love there is Tyrese Maxey.
He's great.
He's caught in the middle of all of this stuff. And, you know, when he's right, and if those other two guys were right, then you're right. They should be talked about in that way. But I'm really concerned about Embiid's future. You know, what's going to happen? You know, Cousins comes out with a big statement this week saying he needs to lose 40 pounds and whatever. But, you know, the body's not holding up for him. And then you got the finger problem for George. So, yeah, it's been a mess there. And one other note. Greg Anthony, his son, has been playing really good in Suggs' absence.
Yeah,
he's
Cole
questionable
Anthony.
For tomorrow. And if he doesn't play, I just feel even better. They don't have Mickey Mouse or Donald Duck to replace him.
they do not have those guys. So now that like Disney's taken over like the Star Wars franchise, maybe they could call up Darth Vader or something. But I mean, just they're catching these teams basically
perfect.
At the right time. Like and now Brooklyn, last I checked, who they're going to see at the end of the trip. Well, now they're down 12. They were up 15 at the half against Oklahoma City. They just cratered in the second half.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Brooklyn, they're kind of one of the more feistier teams that Golden State's going to see on this road trip. I mean, they make moves to like kind of try to tank this season, and they just kind of keep on winning enough games to stay somewhat relevant in the play-in chase. But you mentioned Joel Embiid. I mean, he's only played 19 games this year. It sounds like he's going to have to go under the knife again, and that's never good.
Yeah, and then Kev, how long will he be out? If he has a major procedure, he could be out 9 months to a year.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you got this huge contract kicking in. This is like a perfect storm. It really, that's a big mess. But, you know, you mentioned the Nets. I want to give Jordy Fernandez, who was up with Mike Brown up there in Sacramento. I love his message. He's just positive and talking about how hard and connected his guys have been playing and that kind of thing. And I don't watch them very much, but people were going after that kid Johnson, who's a good scorer. But beyond that, you know, those guys, a lot of them could be in the G League. And so they've done a nice job. They've been respectable.
Just you mentioned the contract extension for Embiid. He is set to make in 26-27. He signed a 3-year, $193 million extension that kicks in the 26-27 season when he's 32. He's going to make $59.5 million 2 years from now, $64.3 million 3 years from now, and it's a player option on a $69 million deal for the 28-29 season. How does that sound?
Well, hey, Kev, with this new collective bargaining agreement, before I go to the big court in the sky, I'm going to see somebody making $100 million a year.
Yes, you are. That's
and,
for sure.
It's amazing. You know, I think all the way back to my days, I was starting in Milwaukee, and guys were making $150, $200, $250. And my gosh, I thought that was it. They were a gazillionaire. So what a wonderful life.
Yeah, no, it really is. It just last thing on the Sixers, their pick is top six protected right now, and they have the sixth worst record in the NBA. Might be time for them to trust the process again for the rest of this season, if you will. Well,
boy.
That will do it for us this week, folks. We will talk to you next Wednesday, March 5th. So we will be on your airwaves again. A big thank you to Marika Kleto and R.C. Davis on the Warriors side of things. Big thank you to Mark Grandy behind the glass, as almost always, for us here in the 95.7 studios. For the St. Lee One, I'm Kevin Dana saying sayonara, and we will talk to you next week right here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step, left wing, three. Cha-ching! 58-41. Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
Well, you have to know these things when you're a king, you know.